1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 3. And this is important for us because, as we were discussing at the men's breakfast this morning, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is confusing. The teachings of the Holy Spirit, can be contentious. And so there are a lot of churches that choose simply not to teach about the gifts of the Spirit or the ministry of the Spirit of God. They'll go ahead and wrap it all up into saying, well, this is how, this is for the ministers, this is for the pastors or the priests or whatever. Others will go ahead and say, well, these gifts cease to exist at the death of the last apostle. And, it is interesting to see the contortions that they put themselves through in an effort to explain away or to get out of explaining the gifts of the Spirit. But there is a lot of real estate in the Word of God that is devoted to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. And so it's important for us to realize that the Holy Spirit is not the force be with you, all right? It's not the thing that activates Luke or Darth Vader or, you know, the dark side of the force or anything like that. That the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit has a personality. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can exhibit His emotions. And so the Holy Spirit is more than just a entity, a force out there. It is a person that is spirit, does not present himself in the flesh. That is the ministry of the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. So when you look in the Old Testament and God shows up, like with Abraham or whatever, those are what theologians call Christophanies, or pre-incarnate manifestations of the second person of the Godhead, all right, Jesus Christ. And so for some reason, the Godhead just got together and agreed that whenever we're going to present ourselves physically in a seen way to our creation, that's the job of the second person of the Trinity, or the Holy Spirit. So, no, Jesus didn't begin his existence on Christmas Day. You know, even though he received his human body and was born into humanity on Christmas, he existed before the foundations of the world. The Bible says, without him was not anything made that was made. Okay? And so Jesus has been intimately involved with everything going on since before the foundations of the world. Okay, and so, as Paul is explaining here to the Corinthians, and again, I love the Corinthian church, they were, of all of the churches of Paul, the least spiritually mature. They were forever getting into arguments and fights about, you know, what does this mean or what does that mean or whatever. And so, believe it or not, Paul actually had to write 4 letters to the Corinthians. Only 2 of us have been saved. I guess 2 of them weren't necessary, or God would have made sure that we had them today. But the Corinthians, the 1st and 2nd Corinthians bears out that there were actually 2 other letters that Paul wrote, but I guess not important enough for God to say, yes, we need to save these for posterity. But Paul goes on and he tells us there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit of God. All right? So the first thing I want you to know today, on the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit was sent to permanently indwell this earth as he walked side by side of every believer, all right, that's what paraclete means. We talked about that Greek word, one who was called to walk through life alongside of us. Amen? You don't leave the church and leave the Holy Spirit behind. Amen? Okay, it's not like when I was growing up in the church and I knew up there on the other side of the rails was God's living room. And, you know, when I left the church, he breathed a sigh of relief knowing that I hadn't gone up there and messed up his living room. Okay, so I had all sorts of interesting ideas of God when I was a little guy growing up. And so what Paul wants us to know first off is there are a lot of gifts. A lot of gifts. But it only comes from one Spirit. Alright? And there are all sorts of different ways that those gifts are used, but it's the same God, the same Holy Spirit, that activates those gifts into each one of us. Okay? And then it says, to each, and this is probably the most important thing that I'm going to say this morning, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, what that means is that whether you are talking, there are different manifestations. There are the gifts of the Spirit. There are the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation of tongues, understanding spirits, healings, faith by the same Spirit. These are giftings of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's interesting that in churches, and Terry and I have ministered in Pentecostal and those types of churches for many years, it's interesting that in those kind of churches, they look at the gifts as being the evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. Alright? But what is important is that the Bible says that each one of us has been given the gifts of, or, you know, the manifestation, whatever God wants to give us, He gives each one of us individually as He wills. So first of all, we don't have to prove that we have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit. Amen? And there are some churches that would even tell us, if you're not able to manifest the Spirit of God, which they usually means speaking in tongues or something like that, if you're not able to do that, you're not even saved. All right? But the Word of God again says that we have all been given that earnest of the Spirit of God. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we've been given that down payment, that earnest money of the Spirit of God. That's for each of us. Now, how far we allow ourselves to learn about that gift, how far we allow ourselves to receive instruction from the Word of God and then to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and walking in that gifting, that's kind of up to us. But we all have the Spirit of God. And we had a couple that was coming to church here many years ago, and he was a good old boy, and she was a Pentecostal girl. And she was forever after her husband. He's got to talk in tongues. And she told me, Pastor, he's going to hell because he doesn't talk in tongues. All right? Well, I'm sorry, but there's no place in the Word of God that says that if you don't talk in tongues, you don't go to heaven. And so she had this poor old boy believing that he was on the way to hell. All right? Because she had just beat him about the head and shoulders with this thing, until I hear you talking in tongues, you're not saved. And how unfortunate that what Paul calls the least of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, the least of these giftings, speaking in tongues, is what these denominations would use to determine how mature you are in the Spirit of God. I'll tell you what determines how mature you are in the Spirit of God. It's not the gifts of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering. Did I say patience already? Okay. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. How do you get the fruit of the Spirit? By learning to walk in the Spirit. How do you get to know Jesus? By reading His Word and meditating on His Word. In the same way, as we determine that we want to be led by the Spirit of God, we're going to receive the fruit of the Spirit. I would much rather be known by my love than by, as Paul says, you know, clanging cymbals that don't mean anything. Okay? And so we have the fruit of the Spirit. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We also have, in Ephesians 4:11, what we call the ascension gifts, which are the ministerial gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And these are giftings that God gives individuals to lead His church. But I want you to see again that it says, for one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. There is a gift of faith. Some people, have you ever known anybody that no matter what happened, you could not get them to back down on their faith one little bit? They just seem to be, you know, just a paragon of faith. That's because there is an actual gifting of faith. All right? It doesn't mean that they've got a higher place in heaven than the rest of us have. That's just some people are going to be called upon to make a stand like the disciples did. They had to take a stand unto death for their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That requires, I would dare say, a little bit more faith than the average Christian might have, okay? And then to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the discernment of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. And so we've gone through the gifts of the Spirit, and Paul says here in verse 11, all these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each individually just as the Spirit chooses. Okay, so it's the Spirit of God who distributes the gifts. Amen? Okay. Now, I don't know how it was when you were growing up on Christmas or whenever you opened your gifts. And my, of course, being from a military family, everything was done in order. Dad handed out the gifts. All right? There was none of this, okay, kids, dive in. Alright, and I've heard about such Christmas mornings, but it's just totally foreign to me. Sounds like a little bit too much confusion and whatever. But it was Dad who distributed the gift and said, oh, this is for you, son, and I'd take it and I'd open that. Here's to my little brother, here's to my little sister, here's one to my mom. But who was distributing those gifts? Dad was distributing the gifts, all right? The Holy Spirit of God distributes the gifts to those as He chooses. Amen? All right. And so somebody has asked me, well, what is the best gift? The best gift is the one you need at the moment. Amen? Because all that these gifts are tools in God's toolbox. And so if you have somebody who is dying of a disease and you show up with discernment of spirit, you're not going to do that person any good. I discern that you're fixing to die. That's not what that person needs right now. The person needs someone who has the gift of healing. Amen. And so that's why it says up here that it's the Holy Spirit that goes ahead and each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. The Holy Spirit will give you the gift that you need at that time. And so as we're going through our little exercise, and I hope you're still involved in, how many are still taking their prayer lists and hanging them up on the, okay, I'm still doing that, hang it right up on the refrigerator. I've got a refrigerator right by my office desk. So, you know, that's perfect for notes, and sticky notes and all that good stuff. And I still put it there. Why? Because I want to be able to glance at that list and let the Holy Spirit refine my gaze so that I'm looking at this particular prayer request. And through that, I am practicing letting the Spirit of God guide me. Because if we're led by the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so one of the things about the Spirit of God coming down on the day of Pentecost is that now it gives Christians an option. Because let's look at the Apostle Peter. All right. This is the rock. This is the guy on whom the church is built. Right? Okay. And so what does he do during the temptation of Jesus? Well, he's denying Jesus three times. Okay, what else is going on? He was the first one to give up and go back to fishing. The leader, the number one guy in Jesus', core group, he says, I give up, I'm going back to fishing. Who wants to go back to fishing with me? He gave up on the 3.5 years that Jesus had invested into his life. Okay, and so, which gives us all hope, all right? Because if Peter can blow it big time like that, and Jesus still accepts him back into the church and whatever he has to do in the church, it's the same way with us, amen? And so Jesus deals with Peter. He deals with his rejection of Jesus. And, Peter, do you love me? You know that I love you. All right, feed my sheep. And he asked him that three times. You have any idea why Peter may have been asked by Jesus three times if you love me? Because three times Peter was asked, do you know this guy? Oh, I don't know him. I'm swearing an oath. Dang it. Or whatever the oath is, I don't know the guy. And so Jesus has to step in. And yet they're still on the day of Pentecost, they're still holed up in that upper room. All right? And then on the day of Pentecost, everything changes. And there's this sound, not just in the room where they were, because everybody outside the house. Because the day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, was a Jewish feast that demanded a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. This is why you had different feasts throughout the Jewish calendar. Some of them you could celebrate at home. Others, you were required to travel to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast. And so Jerusalem was full of pilgrims. That Verna Ruth was over here trying to read the list of all of those Cyrenians and all of those guys. These were people that had come to accept the Jewish religion to become the children of Abraham, and they were, as it says here, they were proselytes. They were converts to Judaism. And yet, outside the house, they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. So this was just not some hallucination by the people in the upper room. Everybody heard it. And then to make matters worse, the guys in the upper room, they go filing downstairs, and they're all talking. Now, first of all, it's important for us to realize these are all Galileans, okay? Galileans are like, what is a state that is not known for its, high technology and things like that? You know, it, I know people make fun of Louisiana and people make fun of Florida. Okay, so we'll just say that the Galileans were the Floridians of the Middle East. They were known as not being educated. They were known as just menial laborers. They weren't known for being scientists and teachers and, you know, great leaders and religious teachers and things like that. They were known to just be the, "Duh, I'll go ahead and do it," that kind of person, you know, that don't expect much from them, but everybody heard them talking in their own language. And they're saying, "Wait a second, these are all Galileans." How? Because they dress like Galileans. All right? It was obvious by their actions and by the way that they dressed that they were Galileans, yet there's something wrong here. These people shouldn't be multi-linguistic, or whatever you want to call it. How many languages do you speak? And yet they're saying, we here, each one of us here, even though we're from all over the world, we're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed in our own language. Amen? And you think that's going to get somebody's attention? It certainly did. All right. And then, of course, as soon as you get the attention of the people, the devil's got to come along and try to put the kibosh, kibosh, to put the whatever on that. And so then somebody comes up, they're just all drunk. They've been drinking all night. Peter gets up. And he says, "They're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, for goodness sake, folks. Nobody's drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning." But this same Peter that backed down from a little tiny servant girl and says, "I don't know the man." This same Peter that told all the disciples, "I don't know about you guys, but I'm going back to fishing. I give up. I was a halfway decent fisherman before Jesus came into my life. I'm just going back to fishing." That same Peter stood up and said, "This same Jesus that you guys murdered, you hung him on a cross, you killed God's Messiah." Wow, what happened? What happened between and then? The Holy Spirit happened. And that's why Jesus tells his followers, and we've read it in his word, don't be concerned about what you're going to speak when that day comes when people ask you the reason for that hope that resides within you, because I will be there, and what Jesus is referring to is the Holy Spirit of God, and I will give you the words to say. And now these followers of Jesus have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit of God. It was given to us upon our salvation. Each was given that portion, that down payment, all right? That was given to us, but what are we going to do with it is what the question is staring us in the face, what they call the 600-pound gorilla in the room. Okay, what are we going to do with it? And so, I just want to be real careful about how we do this, because I know that there are some in the room that come from denominations that say, "No, no, 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 the gifts of the Spirit aren't for the church today. they're, and I don't want to step on any toes, but what I would ask is, if the Word of God is true, and we have each received that portion of the Holy Spirit, if you have enough faith to get saved, if you've received enough portion of the Holy Spirit to get saved, then you already have mountain-moving faith. You just don't know it yet. Amen? Amen? And so, what that lies before us is, how am I going to pursue this? Where do I go from here? Maybe I will continue doing what Pastor already has us doing. When we walk by our list of prayer requests, I just let the Holy Spirit guide me. And maybe I graduate from there and I go on to, as I go down the hallway and somebody comes down the hallway, what am I going to say then? And just learn to depend on the Spirit of God. But when Carrie and I were first in ministry, it was early on in ministry. We were working for IBM, Independent Bible Missions. And we spoke in churches across the northern United States, the Canadian border. So we were up there and where they talk kind of different. And we had an emergency meeting. They called in all of the missionaries to Traverse City, Michigan. And we get there. What's the problem? Well, we need to find out what to do. We're having these outbreaks of tongues in our services. And the way that we were all taught in seminary back then and that type of denomination was, well, that's got to be from the devil. And so they were trying to take this really, really hard stand. You know, we've got to come up with how are we going to respond to this. And I got up, little old me, nobody, and I said, you know, something like similar to this happened in the Gospels. And I think I have to say the same thing here that was said in the Gospels. We need to be careful because we might find ourselves fighting against God himself. And that's what the leaders, the teachers of the Jews said when they were discussing Jesus. What are we going to do with this Jesus? And one of their greatest teachers stood up and said, you better be careful what you decide because you may find that you are fighting against God himself. All right? And so that's what I told them. I don't remember if it had any big impact on them. I do remember that we didn't work with IBM much after that. Go figure, huh? If the Word of God has it, then it's something that we need, each one of us needs to address. And so I would just encourage you. And I wouldn't place the same priority that some denominations that are famous for the gifts of the Spirit in their churches, I wouldn't place the same amount of emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit as I would on the fruit of the Spirit. Because that's what people are going to see. The love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the goodness, the kindness, and the long-suffering. Those are the things that people see, and they say, wow, look what's going on in that person's life, and yet we see these good things coming out. How do you get that? You get that by hanging out with God. You get that by surrendering to the Holy Spirit of God so that in obedience and following the Spirit of God, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? Because each one of those love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, long suffering are the opposite of the seven cardinal sins. All right? And so you find that if you're walking in the fruits of the Spirit, then you're not, by definition, fulfilling the seven bad sins. Isn't that neat? So, I want to leave it off there. Happy birthday, church, by the way. Happy birthday. And Father God, I pray.